Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is several people from West Side Story, a production that is going to be at the Rosé Center coming up April 13th through the 15th, being put on by the Tech Theater Company. And I can probably say that this may be the most people from a single show I ever had in for a Copper Country Today radio interview. So going around the around the horn here, I have Joel Nevis, who is the musical director of the show, Tricia Helzel, who is the director, the two main stars of West Side Story, Kirsten Barando, who plays Maria,
hi,
and Brendan Collins, who plays Tony.
What up?
Okay, and as a side note, yes, I do Lieutenant Shrink in the film in the. show as well. So kind of neat. So we have five people from one production in one Copper Country Today show. So we certainly shouldn't run out of things to talk about in the next 25 minutes.
No, I can't imagine.
So let's kind of go with how West Side Story got selected to be this production.
Well, West Side Story, this is Joel, has been one of my favorite musicals of all time. My brother's a stage director, and he did it with his professional theater a few years ago, and I've always enjoyed the movie, enjoyed the music. Orchestras tend to play the excerpts from West Side Story all the time. I've always liked Leonard Bernstein as a conductor and composer, and so I just love all of it. I love Sondheim, and I thought, well, maybe we should just float a crazy idea of doing this play, which is widely known as being one of the most difficult of all musicals. And so I approached Trish and talked to her about it and see what she thought, and she was very enthusiastic. And we had to go through all of the lines of in terms of faculty to see if we had the resources and we had the ability to do it, if we had the dancers, the actors, the technical know-how. And everybody was very thrilled about it, and so we went about and we said yes. In our department, one of our favorite phrases is "Sure, why not?" And we did it.
Trish, I understand enthusiastic might be an understatement.
Well, actually, when Joel mentioned to me that he wanted to do the show, I gave him a big hug because it is a show I've wanted to do for quite a while. I was in the show 30 years ago. I played Maria in grad school. It was my first role in grad school. And I know how difficult the show is, and to be able to do it requires a lot of talent, which I think we have here, and a lot of talent and a lot of technical savvy. And I think that we're ready to do it. So when Joel asked me, big old hug.
We're sharing a mic here in studio here, so I'm going to go with Tony first because he's closest to it and ask. So when you saw that auditions for West Side Story were being taken place, what was your reaction?
Well, the first thing I did was I was like, wow, they're doing a show that I actually know of. And this is fantastic because I have nothing to do this semester. I'm only taking 8 credits. And so the first thing I did was I just kind of got some information on it. I went up to the top of the Rosé. I asked about it. I asked to be put on like the newsletter or email thing that they send out. I think that's a thing about being in shows. And I just waited for the audition day. And then come audition night, I practiced and I got ready for, I practiced a piece from Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it's a song I just really like to sing. I figured if nothing else, if I wasn't going to get anything, I would at least get out of there have just singing something because I haven't done that in so long. So, yeah, and I went, and I went to the audition, and I guess they liked me, and it brought me back to callbacks and whatnot, and the rest was history.
Did you go in thinking, oh, I could be Tony?
Not really. I mean, I went in there thinking, like, oh, if I got Tony, that'd be bad A. But no, I didn't go in there thinking that, oh, yeah, obviously. Cause honestly, I have no idea what the who was in the program, to be honest. So everything, by the time I got there, was a complete enigma to me until I actually did anything in front of them. So, no, I'm very happy that I got Tony, but no, I did not go in there thinking like, oh, yeah, no, I got Tony in the bag.
Well, when I saw the press release, because I do the news for the Kiwanis Report, and I looked at it, and the first thing that struck me is Kirsten is Maria. And I went out to the sales department to talk to her. So and you were excited about it too,
coming. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was really excited about it. Can I tell the story about? Okay. Yeah. So I found out about this last summer. Joel was coming in to the station here to do something for another project that he works on. And he was talking to me and he said, hey, by the way, we're going to be doing West Side Story. I was talking to somebody, and you should come and audition for Maria. And I mean, he didn't know who all was going to show up. He didn't know if that was something that was going to shake out that way. But that's when I heard about it, was our maestro coming over and chatting with us here in the Wolf Studios. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
As I guess I'll throw mine in there too. When I've been wanting to get involved in community theater and had done a lot of things more from the production side. And I thought, well, you know, this was something I could do. I can go and play some small role and only have to go every now and then and do rehearsals and
stuff. Yeah, I figured
it out. So, and it was like I was going to be there, you know, almost as much as Tony, you know. We're not, you know, certainly now we're all there doing rehearsals. So. But there's a huge number of people in this program. I just want to say an estimate of some 30 people who are on stage, and probably
right.
twice that many of who are involved in making this happen.
Three times.
Really?
Yes. Easily, yeah. We have, of course, the cast is about 30, but we also have a very large orchestra, and the technical aspects are pretty fierce for this show. We have students who've helped to design the set. A whole class of students who's helped to design the set. We have a whole class of students who has worked on painting the scenery. We have a class in scenic design or scene painting this semester, so that class has been working on the set, which if you haven't seen, you will see, I suppose. But we've been watching it come to life during rehearsal, and starts with a bare wall, and the next thing you have are these bricks that are being put on one by one, and it takes on this three-dimensional presence that's just amazing and beautiful.
Now, in this production, you've got acting, you've got singing, you've got dancing. You know, and all three of those have to come together in single scenes, and they have to work. And you're working with a lot of people. You know, this isn't a professional theater troupe putting this on. This is, you know, largely it's a, you know, amateurs. So they're students. Mm-hmm. Some people have some experience. Some people have virtually none. And talk about what it's like kind of working with people who, you know, have all the best intentions and they have all the potential, but they're really raw as far as trying to get them to perform.
Well, you know, it is a very ambitious project. West Side Story is usually one of those things where you say, well, I like to watch that or see it, but actually perform it is a rare thing, and you're kind of crazy trying it. But here we are, and we're doing a great job. The whole entire cast, the whole crew is doing just stellar work. I talked to one of my mentors who's in a big school of music, and he said, you know what? We would never do West Side Story, ever. In my entire career, I'll never have the chance to do that. The sinking of the dance department, the theater department, the technical department, and the musicians, putting that all together wasn't possible in his large musical organization. And I sort of felt proud of us that we could put it together in a place where there are no music majors, there are no anybody that's studying music formally to get a degree, and we have a small but committed organization here, and to see people that are mechanical engineering majors that are playing big, huge, you know, heavy music and doing it well, and then having a veterinarian play this and then a businessman play that, it's amazing, at least from the orchestra standpoint, that they could put this together. In working with the orchestra, people have come up to me and said, this is the hardest music I've ever played in my life, which makes me happy, because that means that they are accomplishing something great. And if we can pull off West Side Story, then people have accomplished a really cool thing.
Yeah, I think also this is what we do. We have students, especially as actors, who are not majors, and we have this is not new, as I said. This has been going on for 10 years since I've been here, and I've just watched a lot of growth. You see some people who show up for a show, like Brendan, who I haven't met before, but there are students who do another show. You're graduating, too bad, right? students show up for a show, and the next show they're that much better, and so there's this sense of growth from show to show, and everybody has something to bring to the table, and so that's not to be underestimated. And with all of that talent, it takes just some coaching to bring out the best from each person.
Of course, Tony and Maria are the two people everybody will know from if they're familiar with the movie or if they've seen the show. You two are, you know, share a lot of time on stage. And of course, having known Kirsten and seeing her in productions before, I was like, okay, she's going to do a great job. And I was like, I hope they get her a good Tony. They got
oh,
her.
A, he's great.
Yeah,
he
they
so
got her
fun.
A good hey. Tony. Brendan, you are fantastic. And it kind of, Trish mentioned it, you sort of came out of from nowhere and got this role and then doing so, you know, such an impressive job. Can you tell us a little bit about your background in theater?
Yeah, sure. So, like you said, I this is the first show I've done for Michigan Tech. I've never even auditioned for any of the straight plays. This is the first. I came here as a freshman back when I believe Fiddler was a thing, and I almost actually did it. I actually, the day that the auditions came, I almost went to do it, but then I told myself, man, I'm just so busy. This would just kill me if I actually did anything. So I didn't end up going to the Fiddler auditions. I haven't gone to any since. But before I came here, yeah, I did one musical, one straight play every single year from my old high school. I did Beauty and the Beast, Seussical. Those are the two biggest shows I did. And then before that, I did Les Mis and West Side, actually, but I was smaller roles in that.
Compared to all those other roles that you did, of course, you're referencing them in high school, which I've seen some tremendous high school performances in this area, but you're where do you come from?
I come from downstate, kind of near Detroit-ish, for anyone who's familiar with the area. I come from Walled Lake, which is right around Novi-ish.
Yeah. Would that be Walled Lake Northern?
I did not go to Northern, but that was one of my sister schools. I went to Central.
My son graduated from Walled Lake Northern.
Okay.
Yeah, so I used to live near the corner of Commerce and Commerce and Commerce.
Oh, you lived over there. Yeah. Okay, I actually know exactly where you're at.
Yeah,
Commerce, Commerce, and Commerce.
Not weird at all.
I actually know exactly where that is. No, that's hilarious.
Great. Well, again, you're doing a tremendous job with a very difficult role, and there's a lot of adjustments, and it's been interesting seeing your personal growth there on stage with that role. From when you first get up there and you're taking it and you're interpreting one way, and then after several weeks of rehearsals, it starts to seem to come together. And then I'm very familiar with the film because I own it and watched it several times, and I was like, wow, he's starting to really remind me of the Tony from the film, which I assume is a, even though it may not be the intention, is a byproduct if you're doing it well. So great job there.
Well, I appreciate that.
Kirsten, tell us a little bit about your background. Of course, you've been in theater here locally, and people will be familiar with you.
Some people maybe. So I've done some local theater. I was in Guys and Dolls with Trish this summer, where she was Adelaide, which was pretty fun. I've done South Pacific with you before. Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of community theater.
Yeah, I've done a lot of community theater with the Calumet Players and a little bit with Michigan Tech, and a little bit more when I've been living in other places down near Detroit and Ann Arbor area. Lots of operettas and things like that, which I was excited about West Side Story for me because I love opera, I love operetta, and so this is this really fun musical theater where it's musical theater but the singing is real singing, and I get so excited about how rich and complex and technically interesting the music is, and I'm sure everybody that's listening is just like glazing over technically interesting music, goodness. But it's hard, but it's beautiful singing, and I'm really excited about it.
Does it make it more difficult or maybe more challenging and fun, trying to do a role that is so iconic? I mean, everybody's going to have Natalie Wood in their mind when they're, seeing the show, but they're seeing you, and you give her a run for her money, by the way. So, and I say that with all honesty, you have a tremendous voice, one of the best ones I've ever heard. And, that's not getting paid millions of dollars to sing. So, pretty good.
Thank you.
And, but you that pressure's on you, and certainly now a lot more.
So
I said that.
In general, when I sing, because singing is the thing that I really, really love to do, and Trish has been tremendous working with me on my acting, and Mary Munsell with working with me on dancing, which is coming a lot better than I was expecting it to. I'm excited about it. But you guys have been, you guys have been tremendous working with us, and I really feel comfortable with the character, and I don't, like, it's, I... It's cool to think of Natalie Wood, and I love her in that role, but something that I think we've really focused on that's worked really well for me is that I haven't watched the movie since we started. I've made a point of not thinking about Natalie Wood in this role, because if I'm being Natalie Wood, right? If I'm trying to be that character, I'm never going to be as good at being Natalie Wood as Maria as she is. And so I've really had the opportunity to think about who Maria is in line with who I am and how I think about things and how I think this character would think about the different situations that she's in and all of that. And so that's been a really interesting process and a lot of fun. And so I am doing Maria, and it is iconic. And when I sing, I generally make a point of not singing iconic songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, where everybody wants you to sound like Judy Garland or Izzy. because then everyone has this idea of what it's supposed to be. And I'm never going to be Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, because then I'm just imitating somebody else and I'll never be as good as the person I'm imitating, right? So I've had the opportunity to grow and figure out who I am in Maria, and that's been exciting.
Well, that's interesting. Judy Garland is the one that said the quote, "I'd rather be a first-rate version of myself than a second-rate version of someone else."
Hey!
Yeah.
All right.
Kirsten has really owned the role, and when I see her, not Natalie Wood or anybody else. It's very, very individualized, and she's doing an outstanding job.
I think something that speaks to the difficulty of the show is that Natalie Wood, of course, was the iconic Maria, but she did not sing the role in the movie.
I was wondering. Yeah,
Marnie Nixon
sang the role, and so when I watch the movie, I always think of them very separately. And I enjoy the movie, but I think that's probably a challenge, is to encourage actors to make the show their own, because no one goes to the theater expecting to see the movie. Otherwise, they just go see the movie. And so every production is different based on what each actor brings to their role. And Keir has this wonderful sense of fun and even a certain sense of maturity that makes the role really interesting. And Tony comes to us bright-eyed and brings that to the role and a sense of warmth too. So I think people are going to really enjoy a new and wonderful interpretation.
I'm going to direct this to Kirsten and Brendan. What is West Side Story about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. West Side Story is it's about a guy named Tony who goes to a dance. He was actually invited by his best friend to go to a dance to talk about setting up a big battle between the two rival gangs, the Jets and the Sharks. Then myself, Tony, goes to the dance, and I meet this wonderful number over here named Maria. And at that point, the rest is somewhat history, and I'll let her continue, because from her perspective, it's basically me just kind of inserting myself more into her life with every scene we have together, which I think is kind of fun, because I just spend most of my time with a smile on and just kind of like, Maria, what's up? Hey! You want me to, like, come up and say hi, you know?
I like inserting myself into your life. I really don't think of it that way at all. But, yeah. No, it's so, I mean, obviously to both of us, we're like, because we spend so much time in our own characters, we're like, well, it's about my character.
Yeah, right.
Doing what my character's doing. And there are all of these periphery other characters, like Tony. And, yeah, no. But, yeah, so it is. It's about... I realized that I should have thought about this before I came into a radio interview knowing I was going to have to talk about the show. But to me, it's kind of about this tiny section of the world that kind of explore... There are these two rival gangs in it, right? There's these two different ways of living that are forced to exist in the same space, and it's about the tension that exists there, and... how everyone is trying to break out and figure out how... Well, not everyone's trying to break out. It's about figuring out how to exist in this tense sort of atmosphere, and some people want to get out and they can't figure out how to do it, and some people are just trying to figure out how to survive within the walls, which I think the scenery really helps to kind of bring in and make clear for the audience. But... It's just figuring out how to exist and how to survive in this tense world. And I think that exists sort of everywhere, but it's looking at it in this specific place. And we get to come in and see Tony and Maria, who are two people who are trying to break out of it. And I think Tony, in a lot of ways, has already separated himself from it, but keeps getting pulled back in to the tension. And he's trying to figure out a way to escape into whatever he thinks is a normal life, or the life that he wants, that he can see is out there and possible for him. And Maria is coming from Puerto Rico, and she has this image of what it is to be American and what it's going to be a human being in this wonderful free place. And then there is this tension and a sense of being tied down and being trapped that she has to figure out how to deal with.
Come on, Joel, let's go. Yeah. She's nailed it all.
Yeah. And I directed that question to the two of you because I really wanted your perspective on it. I know that, you know, Trish and Joel would give me, you know, basically the university level, you know, this is about, you know, socioeconomic, you know, norms.
That's kind of what I said.
And getting to that. But what I do want to ask for the two of you is the selection of this show, it just seems to be such a good time for it, you know, in our, you know, just in the culture and the environment that we have going on right now, certainly in the political realms. West Side Story seems to be such, you know, not that it was ever irrelevant, but seems to be, you know, so relevant now that we're telling this story, you know, based in the 1950s. And I'm sitting there going, it's like, you know, this is apropos for now and for today. Did that lead into why did you want to have the show?
No, it didn't actually. I think the political events that are surrounding us right now were not in place while we were choosing the season last year. So I think it's ironic in a way that things are the way they are politically right now. And what I mean by that is there is a lot of racial tension that has been stirred up that for, I think, years. Like dormant maybe, and so as we got into rehearsal, it did become much more obvious to me that this was the perfect time to do the show, and it was just a coincidence. But I think it makes it a really meaningful show because people are going to walk away and understand from a level that we haven't been able to understand for years. And what I'm saying is, when I was growing up in the 60s, everyone around me was involved in a sort of counterculture movement. We had authority versus the flower power society. And I haven't seen that until now. I'm starting to see that distinction between people, and that's really evident in West Side Story. So I think people are going to see it in a new light, people who haven't experienced that before.
Kirsten had mentioned that, you know, everybody looks at the show through the perspective of their own character. Well, of course, the main character is Lieutenant Shrank. You know, he's not on
yes,
the,
it
not
is.
He, not he's a stage. Strong. He's a really strong character. I actually think your character of Lieutenant Shrank is so important. Like, I really do, because the way that you feel about these two rival gangs, because you just, man, you hate these people.
Lieutenant Shrank does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, right. I'm sorry. No, you're. I do mean the character. The correct, yeah. I just we're so much a part of this show right now, just being there every evening. That like I was just saying to Brenton that I just call him Tony all the time, and
yeah,
so
sure.
you forget a little bit. Yeah.
Lieutenant Shrank, you were talking about how a lot of these racial tensions were more dormant for a couple of decades, and I think Shrank is. He's that guy who vocalizes things that people don't normally say,
right?
And who are all of a sudden now saying them much more loudly than they have for a number of years,
right?
And so it's been, you know, kind of uncomfortable, you know, playing a part like that. Who, you know, I walk on stage and I yell at everybody, and then I throw out some, you know, pretty awful racial slurs and some things, and it's not a part of my makeup of who I am. And I just try to, you know, I try to think of what I'm seeing out there in the world today is like, well, this is kind of the attitude that people have that I'm, you know, that are, you know, more openly displaying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my, you know, sort of inspiration for, you know, Shrank's racism. And he does vocalize a lot of things that are very, you know, under the the current there, mm-hmm. And brings it to the forefront and during the film. Or film. I keep calling it films. I make movies all the time. During the show.
Yeah.
The show is...
Oh, a lot of people feel really uncomfortable with having to do the racial slurs. They're absolutely necessary in the show in order to get the get that feeling of hatred, fear, tension. And there's been a whole process of sort of forgiveness between actors where we've said, is it okay? Everyone, yeah. It's okay. I'm going to say this, but it's not me, and I trust that you're not going to be hurt by it. And I have to do it with all my heart.
I had one of the sharks come up to me yesterday and say, you know, I have no respect for you because I'm from Puerto Rico and we don't have police in Puerto Rico. And I went, you know, listen, I'm you know, and he goes, no, dude, I'm in character. And I, went, and I thought, oh, okay. You know, totally, you know, it was just kind of playing around. But, yeah, there's, you know, the idea of doing a show like this is so that, one, it's a great show, and it's a great love story. It's a great Romeo and Juliet, you know, based type love story. And you know, first time I ever saw it on film, I cried my eyes out. Mm. You know, when Tony died, no idea it was going to happen. Darn movie had been out for 40 years, and I hadn't seen it. And then I saw it. I had no idea Tony
really?
Died at the end. Yeah, I'm sorry, just spoiled it. Sorry.
Oh, you spoiled it.
I can edit that.
It's
out
Romeo and Juliet. So. You know. when did you see it? For the first time.
Yeah, it was probably around year 2000, somewhere in that area. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I'd always heard about it and then rented it when I was out on DVD. So, and then bought it right away because I thought any movie that touches me like that, I'm going to own. So, but I wanted, you know, people to come out for all of those reasons and to have a great time, you know, seeing a wonderful show that I think is going to knock people's socks off. And, so that will be at the Rosé Center, 7:30 showings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Tickets are available at tickets.mtu.edu. Buy them early, buy them often, and you know, come see the show. So, everybody, thanks for taking time. It's a busy time of year during rehearsals right now, and everybody has their schedules going on too. Still, all made it in for the interview. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.